This week on Rock for Him, we talk to Anthony Parma of Samson's Riddle.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Rock for Him podcast. My name's Jeremy, aka the Big Boy, and with me is my brothers. First off, here's Jason Sanchez Bukowski. Bro, how's it going?
Good, guys. I am so happy to be back on with you guys this week. Last week was weird being on the other side of the screen.
We missed you last
watching.
Week.
But I couldn't help myself. I had to continue to send in questions, even if I was just watching. My wife was sitting there across the room from me. She's like, "Are you watching the podcast?" I'm like, "No." She goes, "Why do they keep saying your name then?" I'm like, "Are you watching the podcast?" No.
Dude, we missed you last week.
I was here in spirit.
Yep, you were. And my other podcast host, my good buddy Riker, bonus Jonas Levine. What's
How's
up,
it
bro?
going? It's going good. Monday night, always a highlight of my week. Really excited
Yes.
to be here.
Well, our guest this week, we finally got him back, is
Yes.
Anthony from the band Samson's Riddle. Bro, how's it going?
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for joining the podcast. So
you're getting it right this time, yeah.
Yeah, right? Them darn time zones.
Yep.
So tell us a little about yourself and the band and all that good stuff.
Right now the band is just me, basically. I write all the music, and I play the guitar and I sing. I also play bass and do keyboards, programming and stuff like that, but that's for the recording purposes. I don't do anything live but play and sing to tracks right now. So eventually I want to build up the band and have some guys come with me and be able to play my stuff and become part of the band. So I call it Samson's Riddle now, even though it's just me, because it will be Samson's Riddle, the band, you know?
Okay, cool.
So tell us about your sound, because I know the songs that you sent to us, it kind of has almost an eclectic sound. I mean, definitely got metal in there. Like, I dug that, but I also heard like some 80s metal in there and maybe a little like the new wave of metal, like
Sure.
early 2000s metal. And I was like, man, this, I mean, to me, that was my vibe. Like, I'm sitting there listening to it going, oh, I can't wait to talk to this guy.
Great. Yeah. It's okay. So I always describe Samson's Riddle like this. If Joe Satriani and Skillet and John Mayer had a baby, that would be what I like to go as. And I don't know if you know some of the listeners, whatever would be the Samson's Riddle in the Bible, the answer is strong and sweet. And so I got a lot of the strong and the sweet kind of music and everything in between. But I the heaviest I get is not that heavy. I wouldn't call myself like metal, but that's like that Skillet side coming out, you know. But the 80s guitar riff you're talking about would be definitely my biggest influence is Joe Satriani, and he's just like he's always been my biggest inspiration as a guitarist. And it's actually my first concert was I was 14 years old. I saw Joe Satriani
Nice.
with my parents. Yeah.
Now, when I say metal, I'm talking like Sweet Vengeance. Like, that song is probably the most metal one that you sent us. And that's a fantastic song. Like, love that song.
And Thank you.
when we say metal, like here on the podcast, typically what that means, at least for us and a lot of our viewers, it just means that we were headbanging to it. We got into it. We really enjoyed it. So when we say metal, we mean like, yes, genre, but also we thought it was really metal, like, you know, as a adjective.
Yes.
Dude, that's awesome, because it's funny. When I lift, I'm like a big metalhead. I listen to everything heavy, the Protest. I'm listening to like Iglesias. I'm listening to stuff that's heavy, Christian stuff. secular stuff too, which I won't mention, but like I love heavy music. But when it comes to this, what I'm doing with Samson's Riddle, that's about the heaviest I get. There's actually a couple more songs that I haven't released here yet, but that are heavier than that. And but yeah, that song kicks butt. I love that song. And that's a funny thing too, is that every time I'm playing, I go to start a song and I say, I love this song. It's to every one of the songs. I'm like, I guess I love them all.
So you
Yeah.
mentioned, and this was like, before the podcast started, but you mentioned a little bit about, what you're all about, what you and your music and its purposes, are.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, I mean, obviously it's just you right now, but as a band, as an artist, and as a Christian musician, kind of what you're all about, what your goals are, your passions.
Right on, right on. First, you can find I have a 18-minute video testimony of my testimony on my YouTube channel. If you guys, if I can share that or whatever, is that cool?
Yeah,
Okay,
absolutely.
yeah.
Oh, yeah, for
Okay,
sure.
cool. It's on my YouTube channel, which is Samson's Riddle Official, and you can find some of these songs we're mentioning, like the good version, and then some other songs that are just up and coming. But my testimony's on there. My whole heart is Jesus, and I was an addict. I've been almost sober for almost 5 years now. My heart is really big on people facing addiction. That's one of my main like branches. But me as a Christian is this. He says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. And he also says, but if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And I take that to mean, you stay close to the word and let it test you. You don't add to it. You don't say, well, this is that. You got to know what it says. And it's a huge part of my ministry to be in perfect adherence with the word. Nobody's perfect, but that is my aim. Like without God's word, there's no power. I can't change you. My guitar can't change you. Nothing can change you but the word of God. And like I said, there was a season in my testimony, I was an addict. God delivered me from alcohol, from drugs, from being a terrible person. I used to go by the name Tony, up for a long, long time. And then when God delivered me from that, I mean, it was a radical, radical change. I go by Anthony now. My mom still introduces me as Tony, but she's my mom. She can call me whatever she wants. My family who knew me then, it's Tony, but I go by Anthony now. I believe it's like Saul and Paul. Like I'm just not that person anymore, And if anything like that pops up, I kill it, man. We're called, the cross calls you to die, and so I'm really big on that. I don't want to play games. And I said earlier, to Riker that it was like, I don't care what I lose. I'm doing this music because it's gonna give something to Jesus. And if it doesn't, I don't want nothing to do with it. I've lived that life. I've tried everything that this world can throw at a man to make him happy, and none of it does. And the only thing that makes you happy is just being surrendered to Jesus. Like it really is. I mean that. It might sound cliche, but I mean it, man. I was addicted. I was in jail. I was a disaster. And God met me right where I was and just started over. It's amazing. It's amazing.
We have a comment here in our chat. It's from Doug Brenneman, and he
Yeah.
says, yes, he says, Anthony, bro, absolute shredder
High against no one. What's up, boys? Those are
right
my friends. Those
Yes.
guys could have killed me in my sleep. I slept in their RV one time at Kingdom Come Fest. They love me. I woke up.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
The Dogs are the
So
best. I love
you had
those guys
hit
so
a
much,
little
guys.
bit on your testimony. Can you tell us how you did come to know Christ?
Yeah, man. When I was 12 years old, I learned who Jesus was. I learned and I knew in my soul that sin was real and I needed a savior and he was the answer. You're 12 years old, but God hit you and that was it, right? And so, I came from a dysfunctional family. So it was like a wave until high school. Then I learned some more and then I had this up and down, just the typical learn stuff, but it's not practiced at home Christianity, but then I got married. I mean, we're fast forwarding a lot. I got married. I was a good mediocre Christian. I knew his word, but I didn't have a connection with the father. And I went to Bible college for a little while. I went to Charis Bible College to get some training there. I didn't graduate, but I was after God, but I didn't have a connection with my father in heaven. There was this disconnect, right? So everything was like, it was close, but the power wasn't there because I just didn't have that relationship with who the father was until 8.5 years into my marriage, my ex-wife, she had an affair while she was pregnant with my fourth child, and it's devastating. It crushed me. If I was a strong Christian, I might have weathered that, but I was a weak one, so I fell apart hard. And I just believed. So to answer the question, I was saved early with the saving knowledge of who Jesus is as the Savior. But when it came to the Father and His love for me, and He had a plan for me, I didn't quite learn that experientially until my life. What I had a Job experience. It was absolute devastation. So, fast forward again. She had an affair while she was pregnant with our fourth. See, I was a virgin. She was a virgin when we got married. We didn't have our babies until we got married. Which I was trying to do it the right way, failing in a lot of other things. Just a mediocre Christian all the way across the board. I am not going to paint a rose-colored lens, but when that happened, I fell apart. I believed in my heart. Listen, if you believe in your heart something that is not true, you'll follow it. Just like if you believe the truth and follow it, you'll produce good fruit. If you believe the lie, you will produce death every time. I believed in my heart that God was done with me and that He was allowing my ex to cheat because she was getting everything she wanted. She took the kids, the house. The lawyers destroyed me. I lost 40 grand in that. She took the house, took the kids. It was a country song, really. And it was devastating. It was so bad that I believed that God was like done with me. And I just gave up. I was like, okay, I guess this is it. I guess God's okay with this. All my prayers, like I have in one of my songs called Doubt, which is very, a lot of my testimony is there. I said my prayers, some days it doesn't matter what I do. My prayers stopped, no nightmares. Every one of them came true. And that is an absolute truth in that season of my life. My wife cheated, she took the house, she got married to this guy, she started having babies with that guy. I was just destroyed. But that's when God came through. This is all part of my testimony now. I'm getting into that. I got off some drugs and alcohol. And so it was like 2 or 3 years of just, I shut the Lord out. And my relationship with Him has always been totally real. When I was a drug addict, a degenerate, I was like, this is who I am, God. Like I know you're the truth, but I'm not doing this right now. I wouldn't go to church when I was doing drugs. Like I knew where I was. I remember very, very specifically saying, I'm not going to call you Lord. You're God, but right now I'm not letting you be Lord, so I'm not going to say that. I was real with Him because I wanted to be a Christian, but what I thought was true of Him was a lie. Like He's just doesn't care about me, but He is God. So, you know what I'm saying? And so I got lost in this. And here's to make a long story short. I was in this new house. I just got a house. I had a one couch and a bed, and I was just completely addicted to drugs. And I remember sitting in the dark, and I looked across the room, and I said, God, I don't like you, because I was talking about, how He let my ex get away with everything, take the kids away from me. And now we're talking about 3 years later, right? Of just devastating. We just had win after win after win, and my life just kept going down. And this was the hand of God. In Isaiah 54, it says, it is I that ordained the blacksmith to fan the coals in the flame. It is I who ordained the destroyer to wreak havoc in your life, so that to forge a weapon fit for its task. And that's where the verse comes in, says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That comes after you are thrown into the fire. And the blacksmith beats you with a hammer on an anvil over and over and over. This was happening in my life. So God used all this, and I didn't realize it at the time. So go back to the couch and say, God, I don't like you, but I'm going to die. Help. I said it like that, and I heard His voice as clear as you're hearing mine. He said, you're going to jail. And I had this moment of peace because I knew what He meant. God is the God of communication. He just spoke to me His message. You're going to jail meant I'm not letting you die. I'm giving you a chance. I'm not done with you. That was in the background. I wasn't ready for that at that time, but I was like, because I was calling out. I knew I was going to end up dead in a drug deal, overdose, crash my car because I was high and awake for 4 days at a time. And when you come down, you're instantly tired. It was a nightmare that the devil had me like this. And I just, God, I need you. Like, even though I said I don't like you, I was like, that was real to me, you know. In Isaiah also, verse chapter 1, he says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, it would be white as snow. The invitation is, God's like, I know what's in your heart. I know where you're at. So come to me. Let's deal with it, man. And if anybody out there has kids, you want that. You want your kids to be upset. Be upset in front of me. Let's go. I can take it. God can take it. And that was where I was. So God was faithful. He said, you're going to jail. And boom, man, he took me to jail. Like, he let me, my own actions, go to jail. And here's the really cool part, guys. My mom was at that house because I just got the house. She was at the house just a few days earlier, and I was smoking and I was drinking. And she sat down and she's like, so is, you know, my mom is a sweet, awesome, godly woman. And, you know, she saw my divorce and my ex do me dirty, man. And she saw what it did to me. So she was always praying for me, but she also saw me going down. And so she said, you, is this what you want to do? Because I'm sitting there with drinking and smoking and I'm sitting on the couch, just miserable. And I was like, yeah, mom, like, what's the point? Because that's where I was. She said to me on the phone when I was in jail, she said to me, I left that house and I said, God, he doesn't see it. Do whatever it takes. I got up in jail, man. It was awesome. So
Wow.
that's the short and sweet of it. There's a lot more into the testimony of where God went from there. I did 8 months in jail. God radically met me there in quarantine. This was COVID. I was 10 days in there. No food, or there was no reading material, nothing to write with. It was just 3 meals a day and no one else. So God
Jeez.
had me full attention, and he was in that jail cell speaking to me, telling me he wasn't done. And I'm sorry that I'm rambling a little bit, but
No,
this is,
we
he
love it.
said, you're overcome by the power of your testimony. And this was it. I was in jail. I was not coming out. I was guilty. And I thought that they had me dead to rights, and they did. Me being out is a miracle because God worked it later. But the idea of, God, if you get me out, I'll never this again, was not even on the table in my head. What I came to God with is like, I'm so sorry that it came to this. You've always been right, and I knew it. You can have me if you want me, but there's nothing left. And that's where I met. That's what, remember I said the disconnect was there from when I was married and all this stuff. It started right there. And the Father was like, now you see me. I love you just like this. And so there was 8 months of that where God protected me and started bringing back all the word that I actually knew. I learned this stuff, and I knew it. I knew that the doctrine, you know, and I knew theology, but I didn't know relationship, man. And what was really cool about that is after that, because I'm fighting this big case in that time, teen challenge comes up, adult and teen challenge comes up. And I've heard that when I was a teenager. I knew nothing about it, but I heard the rescindiary rate was like 93% of the men don't use drugs in the le next within the last 3 years of them graduating. I said, that's what I want. And I prayed to God. I said, God, don't let me out if I'm going to just go back. Don't ever let me out. Please just keep me in here because I don't want to be that man anymore. God orchestrated a way for me to go to adult and teen challenge in Elkhart, Indiana. And I did. I graduated from that. In that time, God tore me apart, man, and met me. There's so much more. I could take this entire time with that, but I'll just move on.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I mean, and if people want to see it, absolutely go on his YouTube page and watch the whole thing. Like, I've watched it. It's fascinating. And just the things that God brought you through is just amazing. So
Man, he is, yeah.
Now that he's, obviously God has done a great work and he's brought you to this new place, he's gotten you involved with music ministry. What does this look like for you now going forward? Obviously, you mentioned wanting to make this more like a full band, but what are your goals with Samson Riddle? What do you want to do with it? Do you want to, what kind of music do you want to be doing? Do you want to be doing touring, stuff like that?
Oh man. Okay. My life has been one big God trying to do something, just like Joseph when he was a young boy got his calling, and David when he was a young boy got his calling. When I was 14 years old, God did speak to me and tell me what I would do. And I was a kid, so I was just following him, not having any clue. I will say this. When I was 14 years old, I started playing the guitar. And I remember kneeling down in my bedroom and lifting up my guitar and said, "Lord, I'll always play this for you." I really meant that, but I had nothing to offer because I was falling in love with music at that point. But I think God really honored that, and God spoke to me when I was about 15 what my calling would be, and as to go and do music. There's like so many confirmations I can give you, but the short and sweet of it is, I feel a call, and it wasn't until I was in Adult and Teen Challenge where I was just done with my own agenda. I had no plans. I said, "God, thank you for taking me. Get me out of the way. Don't ever let me get in the way again, because I just screw everything up." And God was forceful. He was saying, "I'm still calling you to music." And I was like, "I don't want nothing to do with it." I really was. I was like a lot like Moses. You got the wrong guy, like Gideon. You got the wrong guy. I'm weak. I've screwed this up, you know. And God was like, "No. What I said is going to come to pass. I'm still going to do this to you. Are you?" And I was resisting so hard because I was so afraid to ruin my life again and give him a black eye, because now I'm falling in love with Jesus. Now I'm letting him have his way. And then he's like, "I'm going to use you." And I'm like, "God, all I do is mess things up, you know." But he was like, "Nope, I'm going to do something with you." So then he started really building it in me, and all this music started coming out. I have since been back to Adult and Teen Challenge. And I got to play two shows. I'm about to play another one there for the guys there. That, like I said earlier, my heart is in addiction, man. And any man facing himself to be what God called him to be, man, I'm behind that. Any woman as well. I'll go and play. I'm trying to set up another show for another Adult and Teen Challenge. The guys and the girls, they have a ministry with a church. You know, that's my heart, man. If I do that for the rest of my life, I'll be happy. But the plan is, yeah, to go ahead and build this ministry. And God told me some big things. I'm going to play that a little close to the chest, but I will say that I do believe with all of my heart that God wants me to go do this vocationally one day. I'm an electrician. I do pretty good, but man, every week where I spend that 40 hours just making money and paying my bills, it feels like it's getting in the way, you know. But I'm going to trust God and his timing and what he said. He said, when I say something, it's like the snow. It will get to the ground eventually, you know. No matter what happens, it's going to come to pass. So yeah, I want to tour.
what are some of your influences? I know you mentioned a little bit earlier, but what are your influences for Samson's Riddle?
Oh man. All right, number one is and will always be Joe Satriani. He's an instrumental guitarist from the 80s till now. He's been playing him over 30 years. It's almost 90%, 95% instrumental music, and I really speak that language. I really do. I really have put a lot into my guitar, and it just comes out. I love when I first started this, you know, was to write something because it was in me, and I used it as therapy. I just enjoyed it, you know. And then it just became something like I can do something where there's a message in it, especially after all the breaking through my divorce and through drugs and all that stuff, that this message started having hope. One of the tracks on there that I hope you guys are able to play is called "Everything Hurts."
We
My
have it,
cat,
yes.
yeah, my cat is up there messing with the lights. Stop it. My cat Nezuko. It's so funny. I'm trying to focus and she's right over here. Oh, I'm so sorry. But "Everything Hurts" is the one that I play. Whenever I play it, somebody cries. It resonates so deeply because so many people are in pain, and I don't think there's a lot of people that allow the focus to be on what you're going through, you know, like, and God himself says it, "Hey man, come to me, you who are weary, heavy laden, you know, I will give you rest, you know." And the only way you can do that is acknowledging it. This hurts. This isn't fun. This is terrible, you know. So I think when it comes to the influences, Satriani has always built me up in music. Skillet, when I was a child, I was at their first tour, you know, and their second and third tour. I was a big fan of Skillet and John. who is just such a godly man. I remember praying with him during some of these shows, and he was just passionate about Jesus. He's still passionate about Jesus. Him, as far as a Christian artist, I don't know anybody who's doing it better than John and Corey and all of them, really. He runs a tight ship like I want to run it. It better be the word or it's worthless. You know, I've seen that from him, and that was always been a massive influence on my heart. I love his music. It's been inspiring. And then, of course, all the secular artists. I love John Mayer. I don't know if I sound too much like him, but there's little influences, there's melodic stuff. There's a whole bunch of music I haven't released, even come close to releasing yet, that it just doesn't begin to show all of my influences. But those are my influences. Outside of that, it's just music, man. Dream Theater, oh my gosh, Dream Theater. And all the metal stuff is cool too. But one thing I'll say about my influences is that I don't learn anybody else's music. I don't do covers because I already got that influence in my soul, right? When I listen to music, it's in there, but I don't want it in my fingers. I want it to be as pure as possible. And I think that served me pretty well. And it's funny, for not learning any of Satriani's songs, boy, it's the playing's in there. So like, I just kind of want to keep that as pure as possible. You're not going to ever be, you know, totally a purist, but
Right. Yeah.
that's about it. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I'm gonna steal one of Jason's questions.
Cool.
Oh, we're gonna fight, Jeremy.
Uh-oh.
So, one of the questions we love to ask is, if you could go on tour with anybody, if somebody pulls up to your door and says, "Grab all your gear, throw it in our van, you're coming with us, you can't say no," who would it be and why?
Well, that's interesting. You know, I think it would be Satriani because of the audience would definitely, I'd be right there in that vein. Big focus on music. I always think of the other way around. I always think when I become a signed artist, there's a few bands. For instance, I Against No One. They're men of God that first off, I love so much. And I would like snatch them up and be like, let's go, let's do this together. There's a couple other bands out there that they're like awesome. If I was in that genre, I would take Brotality. Those guys are so cool. those little dudes are just like totally fireballs for Jesus. But so I always think that way, like, because I know my calling is gonna make it to a certain place because God said so, you know, and that's really all I got, you know. Honestly, if I didn't have a word from the Lord, I would never pursue this because of the industry is what it is. I mean, you're always out of pocket. You're in the red all the time. Nobody gives you a leg up. I mean, even other bands, you know, they don't really, you know, I Against No One, those guys try to get me a show. So, and they're the first and the only that I know of that were like, hey, get this guy a show. They actually put some work in. So I'm saying, I really believe I'll be there one day, and I always think in the reverse. Now, who could I tour with? I don't feel worthy of any of those people. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, could you imagine opening up for your heroes? You'd feel just like shaking and everything. So I do get a little starstruck when I meet like my heroes. It's weird, but.
Hey, we get it. There's been a few shows that we've gotten the privilege of hosting that when they show up, I'm just like, how did we manage to
Yeah.
pull this off?
That's cool.
Like,
Give me an example. Like who's some of your guys that are like
okay, our very first concert we ever hosted, all right, complete disaster. Like, power went
Oh.
out, three people in the crowd, and the three people was my brother and his two kids. So,
Cool.
complete disaster. But it was Reclaim the Day. Absolutely loved those guys. They showed up, and I was just like, how did we pull this off?
Right?
Our
Yeah.
second concert, it was Becca from Reclaim the Day, was going to do an acoustic show. She played it. We had End of I there. And she goes, oh, I'm going to bring my sister with me. We're like, okay, sweet. She shows up with Zana. I'm like, love Zana's music. She walks in and I'm just like, that's Zana.
Zana. Zana's here.
And then
That's
the
so cool.
last concert we just hosted, it was End of I, Dusty Bones, Crimson Overtone, like we love Crimson Overtone, and then Ignescent was the headliner. Like
Oh, cool.
it was just like one of those things where it's like, how, what did I do that did make God say, I'm gonna allow you to do this? Like, I don't deserve any of this.
Right.
God's
Amen.
allowing me to do this. So
Yeah. Yeah.
that,
It's so fun. No, go ahead. Continue, please.
no, I was just saying, like, I don't deserve any of that. And getting to meet these bands that I listen to and I absolutely love, and then having guys like you on and having them on, like, these are all bands we've had on and we talk to quite often. Like, a lot of them have my personal cell number and they're like, hey, can you pray for me? Whoa. Like,
It's
yep.
cool.
Yeah,
That's cool.
it's kind of like our whole like podcast ministry is just talking to people that we never thought we'd be able to talk to ever. Like it's, I feel like every week it's like, are we really doing this? We're really like it's
Yeah, we do. We've talked to like big artists, we've talked to little artists, we've talked to just everybody in between, and then every week it's like, wow, we get to do this. We get to share your message with the world. We get to get to
Awesome.
know you, the heart of the artist, and get to share you with our listeners, you know? Like
Well, you know what?
we don't take that lightly.
We don't at
No.
all. Because honestly, Anthony, to us, like, you are just as important and as big as Disciple. Okay? Like, we've had Disciple on, and I'm not gonna lie,
Cool.
we were totally fanboying out. But to us, it's just as cool to all three of us to have you
Yeah.
on as it was to have them on. Because we
Nice
get to
job.
hear
Yeah.
your testimony, we get to hear your heart, we get to share you with the people that are watching and listening. And
Yeah.
like that's the coolest thing for us is to getting to meet people to hear your testimony and hear your heart for Jesus and
Oh,
what
yeah.
you're doing to build the kingdom. Like, that's so cool to
Dude.
me.
It's an one thing I notice whenever I go to shows. I was just at a show yesterday, like trying to play different shows here and there. You got to do some footwork and go to the jam night and stuff. It's like, okay, the people that you notice the most are people who love doing what they're doing. Some people are doing it and it's like almost a manufactured feeling, like, do you enjoy your music? You know, and maybe they just enjoy it differently. But the ones that you get involved with, the most are the ones that are like, oh yeah, they love their guitar. They love the singing that. Like you can feel it and it just draws you in, man. And so that's what you guys are experiencing with this. You just love doing it. Like maybe you have plans, or maybe I have plans to do it with like a ministry and like a vocation or whatever. But I
Yeah.
do it for free, always. Like for the
Yeah.
rest of my life. If I never made anything of it, that's fine. I would still do it. Like, let's go.
And just real quick to address something you just said, we don't have fans. They're
There
family. Every
you
single one
go.
of them, they're all family. Like, every single one of them are family. You're
Every
now
artist.
family, whether you like it or not. You're family now.
Every
Sweet.
artist that we have on, we tell them you're family. Like, well, and Anthony, you already have my personal number, and we've talked several Yeah. times. I mean, we tell everybody, if you got a prayer request or just need to talk or something, we're always available.
That's
We
so
make
cool.
ourselves
We've
available to
literally
you.
stepped out of concerts to talk to artists. They're like, hey, I just need to talk.
Yep.
And we've walked
Just
out
get
just
it.
to talk. So,
Yep.
yes.
We'll be hanging out with some of our local friend, local family, and get a text and, can you pray with me real quick? Absolutely. Walk right out, and just pray for that person right on the spot and call them on the phone, whatever. And I mean, Yeah.
that
ministries are our number one thing. If we can't minister or, give that example, we don't want to do this.
Yeah,
Like,
why are we doing it? Right.
yeah.
No, I'm with you there 100%. Well, you guys said we're family, so you guys got any sisters that are single? No,
I
I'm
do have a sister
We're
that's single,
family,
but
hey.
I won't torment you with her. I love you, Megan.
I
Love you, but
was just treading water. No, I'm painfully single, and I'm very needing it right now, and it's just the focus all music and ministry and get that going. And 27:4, I think it was Psalm. What is it? Proverbs or Psalm 27:4? Finish your outdoor work after that. Get your fields ready. After that, build your house. You know, I'm not ready for that yet. One day, the Lord will send me a godly woman, but you know.
So we're quickly getting to the end of our time. So I completely forgot what I was going to say. I know we're starting to run out of time.
Prayer requests?
No, I had another question. I hate this when this happens. See, we got to
Thanks
talking and I had a question. I'm like, all right, I've
for
got to get this out, and I completely forgot. So
it.
how can we pray for you?
We'll go to that. Hey, first, you know, prayer request is so you remember the question you had. But yeah, definitely prayer request is pretty simple, man. I just am waiting for God's direction on what to do next with this. I fully believe that he's going to open doors and do things. I'm not lazy at all. I'll take every opportunity I can, but I don't want to kick any doors down. I don't want to promote myself. I believe that if he said something, he is going to secure it. And for me, I'm just waiting, like, okay, Lord. Like when they walked around Jericho, man, all he said was walk around Jericho and wait for me to tell you to shout. And that sounds cool because we heard it and the walls came down, but it's like walked around for 7 days. It's kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so I'm in that season where I'm just like, okay, Lord, you said this, you prepared this, what's next? You know, but I trust in him. I just want to stay put and keep my eyes open for what I got to do now. You know, there's always a mission. So
Sure.
it's
Okay.
important to me. I need his leading, man, or else it's not, like you said earlier, none of it's important unless he's in the driver's seat, you know?
And that just reminded me of what my question was. So thank you for
Aha.
saying that. So you said you got some new songs that you're getting close to releasing. How close are they? Are we going to see them anytime soon? Do you get any more music that you're going to be sharing with us anytime quickly? Because the three that we have are awesome. I want to hear
Dude,
more.
that's exciting. Yeah, I'm working on a song called Be a Man with a question mark. It's about like just how it's stacked against us in society as men, you know, and there's so much pressure to be these great men, but we're all kind of like abandoned by our fathers. We're raised by women, but we're expected to be men. You know, women can't make men. Men have to make men, you know, and our society, unfortunately, is pretty much most men are raised by women, you know, and it's like, it's just, it's a cool song. Like I said, I love it. All the bass is done, all the guitars are done except for the solo and the vocals. So it's so close, but like all of my recording is through a really awesome studio, but he's also my best friend and he's doing it for free as a love offering. And I never asked for it. He wants to build himself as an engineer, and you have the fruit of his work here today is like his best work. It's so clean, it's so clear, it's just a great recording. So we're working on that, and it'll be another month or so. I have another radio station that's asked me for a shorter version of Everything Hurts, and that's another burden that we got to show. It's like, you know what? That's the prayer request right there, that we can get more time in the studio because I got so much music, I really do.
All right, I will add
Let
that
me,
to the list here.
yeah, let me say this. If you want to see some of the songs in their really, really raw state, me performing them, they're on, as most of them are on the YouTube channel. They're just not the greatest quality, but if you can hear through the lack of quality, you can catch the style of the song. Like Be a Man's actually on there. But I'm looking forward to releasing that like really great sound quality, you know?
Perfect. All right, Jeremy, you got anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
Riker?
It's all here.
All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and pray us out. So
Week.
great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the day today and for all of our blessings. Lord, I ask that you just watch over Anthony and watch over his endeavors with Samson's riddle. Lord, I ask that you just continue to give him guidance and direction. Lord, bless his path and just watch over him as he gets into the studio and finishes up his music. Just guide his hands, guide the engineer's hands, and just make it glorifying to you. Lord, we thank you for all of this, and we thank you for your son, Jesus, coming to die for our sins on the cross. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. Like, this was such a blast, and I'm telling you right now, you are family. When you're ready to release new music, reach out to us. We want to have you on to talk about the new songs.
Cool.
So you're welcome back anytime.
No, that's
Jeremy,
cool.
brother, you know I missed you last week. Riker, we seen you yesterday, but still missed you last week. And for those watching and listening, I absolutely missed all of you last week. It was fun getting to sit in the chat and get to talk with you guys as I'm firing off questions to these guys. But above all else, I just want to remind everyone that if you're going to rock, rock for him. Have a good night, everyone.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Tune in next week, as our guest will be Mr. Rob T of the band Reborn. Are we talking about new music? Maybe, but you'll have to tune in and find out.